Shane is the founder of Scraping Hub. Shane is based in Ireland, but he runs a very, very interesting company that I wanted to expose you to. So, Shane, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Sumana. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry about the delay earlier.
So, you've built a fascinating virtual company that operates globally with customers and employees from all over the world. You know, this is how 1 million by 1 million operates as well. We believe in the model. We're seeing more and more success stories in this model. Please describe the configuration of your team structure. Where are people located?
I think maybe we're a bit unusual in that we don't have a central office and remote workers. We're completely distributed. I founded Scraping Hub when I was in Japan. I'm now based in Ireland. My co-founder is based in Montevideo in Uruguay. And we've grown to 132 people from 48 countries from every continent. And so
you are in Ireland, your co-founder is in Uruguay. Where else are some, you know, concentrations of people? Are there more people in Ireland, in Uruguay, or are those houses, or how does it work?
Yeah, there are more people in Ireland. I think largely because, you know, I meet people and they get excited about Scraping Hub and join. We also have a concentration of people in Uruguay, but we're really very distributed. We happened to have a few people in Spain, for example, that went to a lot of conferences, met more developers, and we ended up with a lot of people joining us from Spain. So we have a lot of people in Europe, a lot in South America. I would say there are two areas where they're a little bit concentrated. But it's very, very spread out. You know, we have two people in Japan, somebody in New Zealand, quite a few in the U.S. as well.
And it works. Tell us a bit about your business. What do you do?
So we provide a complete solution for web data extraction. So this means that we provide a cloud-based platform as a service where people can run web crawling jobs. We provide a suite of tools, which is basically everything you need to get structured data from the web. But we also provide a complete end-to-end solution where our experts can do everything and just provide our customers with data. So we recently expanded to do in-house data analysis, and we have a team of data scientists as well.
So just to, you know, explain what that means to our audience, what does that data extraction, data analysis mean? You have scrapers that go out, digital scrapers that go out into the web and extract data, and then you have heuristics and technology as well as manual processes to clean up that data and categorize that data into formats that are usable by CRM systems and other kinds of digital systems.
Exactly, And actually, it's very varied in terms of the use cases. We have customers who do business intelligence, maybe use it for HR recruitment, competition monitoring. We have people who are manufacturers who might check that their products are being listed correctly on other websites. We have some people who are interested in monitoring legal websites to see when things change. We have customers in finance, in government, but actually a lot of startups use web data. It's often a good way to see something.
What scale are you at this point? You said you have 132 people, right?
Yes.
And what about revenues? What about number of customers?
So in 2015, we did 5.1 million euros in revenue. That's just under, I think, 5.8 million US dollars. In customer count, we tend to break it down because, you know, the platform, the service versus our professional services software development projects. We have, I think, just over 1,000 active customers on our platform as a service. Our professional services are less, obviously, but we have, maybe currently we're doing about 50 custom bespoke projects.
And how do people find you, or how do you find these customers?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's changed over time. So when we started Scraping Hub, we were very lucky. We'd worked in this area before. We had released some open source software, and that had gained a very good reputation. So a lot of developers who had this problem, they found the tools that we produced that were free, and often, sometimes, they would then realize that, well, the people who built them are actually available to help me. so that in the early years, that completely bootstrapped us in terms of the, for the first 2 or 3 years, we had more leads than we were able to hire good engineers to fulfill that work. So that was really good at the start. As we grew, then I think just through engagement, you know, we have a blog, we post answers online on Stack Overflow and Quora and all the websites. We're active in the community. So that's worked really well for us in terms of inbound.
Mm-hmm. And how, talk to us about how you have pulled together the virtual team and how does the virtual team work. So, for example, you said you and your co-founder were in completely different places. How did you meet? What is the genesis of this story?
Okay, so I met my co-founder at my previous company. It was also a startup, which unfortunately didn't hit with as much success as Scraping Hub. But we had built a system and we needed more engineers. My co-founder had actually started up a startup in his own country to provide remote software development. So that's where we met. My boss made an introduction. I realized, hey, those guys are really great programmers. So we hired them and we started
and
working.
And this is in Uruguay, Montevideo, Uruguay.
I was working for a company based out of London. I happened to be in Tokyo, and Pablo, my co-founder, was in Montevideo, in Uruguay. When I actually came to start in Scraping Hub, I went out to Montevideo for 3 months so we could work a bit more closely together. And we've been remote since. We meet up maybe every year.
And so your co-founder had a staffing company for engineering in Uruguay. Did you get a bunch of engineers from Uruguay then as you kick this thing off?
We did, yeah. So that was the big reason for the concentration in Uruguay in the very early days. One other thing that really helped with our hiring as well was I mentioned we were involved in open source software. We had some contributors who maybe we had already worked with online, but never met. So for us, it was really natural to just keep working in this remote fashion.
So all these people that you've hired since, you've met them through these open source communities? Is that your primary hiring principle?
No. Early on that was, but our need for engineers quickly outgrew what we could find through just by coincidence or people who happened to contribute to our software. So we did very well advertising online, especially in the earlier days. As we grew then, we referred people we met at events and conferences. That tended to get a bit more important. We got very good at hiring engineers.
What kind of people do you hire? How do you hire them? And who is drawn to this virtual company model? Are there lessons that you've learned along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there are broadly two kinds of people who are really interested in this kind of work. And I've been in both categories at one point in time. The first is maybe the younger digital nomad, where they're very much interested in the ability to travel. Maybe they want to live in a different country. We had one person who maybe spent 6 months of the year at home and 6 months in some other place of the world. She came to visit me last year, but you know, the year before she was in the US. That's quite common. And then the slightly older category, which I think I'm a part of now, who maybe would value, who don't want to live in a certain place just for work. You know, maybe they want to be able to live in their hometown. Maybe they want to spend more time with their family instead of commuting in a big city. It's that kind of choice. And we have very much split among both groups of people.
And do you have a lot of women in the company?
We do actually, yeah. I mean, not enough, but I think, you know, by our industry standards, it's not bad. And we do.
So women wanting to work from home is not one of your sweet spots.
It is. I was counting them in the category of staying at home, maybe not wanting to commute, maybe valuing time with their family over having to, you know, leave early in the morning, return late at night. I'm definitely in that category myself. I love that I can always have lunch with my daughter, no matter how busy I am. That, you know, we get to spend time together. And we do have some women who may be coming back after maternity leave, easing back into work, or maybe we've been out of the workforce for a while. That tends to work really well, too.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And what about systems and processes? What are some key systems and processes that you use to make such a large virtual team flow well together?
That's a very good question, because well-documented processes have been very important. It's always a good idea anyway to write stuff down, but when you're working remotely, it's absolutely essential. I think from the software development point of view, which is a lot of what we do, that's usually fairly clear. There's well-supported, there's common tools that everybody uses. But it's all the other stuff, you know, documenting our, we have a big internal wiki, which is, you know, pages for every different department and all the procedures and things people know. We have great getting started guides, and we've put a lot of effort into onboarding new hires. That's been really important to us. Day-to-day tools, we use Slack for communication. That is, I think, the center of my workday, and for many people in Scraping Hub, they sign into this Slack, but it could be other messaging programs. We happen to use Slack. We use Google Hangouts for meetings. We have a company newsletter that goes out once a week. We encourage people to give talks internally. We have our own version of Lightning Talks, where people get up and can talk about anything. Some of it's times work-related, other times it's about their hobby or a recipe they want to share or anything like that. We use Office Vibe as well, which is a software that allows our staff to provide feedback, often anonymous. It kind of took off among our staff. They really enjoy providing feedback, and it seems very insightful. I think those are the main things.
And are there any concentrations, like you were talking about your co-founder being in Uruguay and hiring from his staffing network? Is that part of the strategy, is to have like a group of people in one place that are maybe working out of the same office or have some physical contact? Is that something you do?
It hasn't actually been part of our strategy. It's happened in a few places. I think often you will get one person who wants to recommend and happens to have some great contact, and they will hire a few people. So we had a group from Russia, from St. Petersburg. We have an office in Poland. It's not an official office, but somebody there rented an office. And We had one in Brazil. So this tends to happen, but it hasn't been an official policy of ours.
The trend that I see in these virtual office or virtual company organizations is sometimes these concentrations develop, and then maybe five or six people who work for the same virtual company work out of the same co-working space and have some sort of a, you know, physical meeting point as well.
Absolutely. That is even happening in my hometown now, where we had an office, and there's just a really nice co-working space with other entrepreneurs. And one of our guys started working there, and he invited me, and I was there this afternoon.
Okay. And where do you go from here? What's the next step in the evolution of the company? You have 1,000 customers, you have 132 people, you have over 5 million euro in revenue. Where do you go from here? How do you grow?
Well, I think from the remote side, virtual company side, I think we're not going to change that model. I think that's worked really well for us. We are still looking for ways to bridge the gap and bring people closer together. So that's something we'll still be concentrating on. In terms of growing the company, we're still making changes. We're still finding our way in some areas. Some things we do really well, like our platform as a service, but we're continuously striving to make that better. We've got a new strategy where we're working on an edition of it to make it more appealing to first-time users, make it more developer-friendly. I mentioned earlier that we've started a new data science team. We're really looking to advance the state of the art in technology in our area. There's been big advances in machine learning and artificial intelligence. We've been doing this work in a kind of a bespoke basis, but we're trying to bring more of it now to our products. Build more expertise. So those are the areas we're pushing in at the moment.
Would you consider raising financing at some point, or do you want to bootstrap this?
It was interesting to hear Bizu's story as well earlier. So I think we did the same thing, you know, when we were starting off, we definitely didn't want to do it right away. I wasn't sure which way this would go. I wanted the time to explore, to work things out. I still feel like we're working things out, even though we've been growing fairly steadily. So it's not something we're looking at right now, but it's also not something I'm going to rule out for the future, you know, further on down the road, right?
Well, very good. So it's a very interesting story, and I wanted, you know, I am based in Silicon Valley. I'm right off Sand Hill Road in Menlo Park, California, and here in Silicon Valley, the talent war is incredible. The cost of living has gone completely out of control. The traffic has gone completely out of control, and you know, I know so many people who are each commuting an hour and a half to 2 hours each way per day. So that's like 3 to 4 hours of commute, and that's a complete wastage of time. So I'm a huge believer in the kind of model that you are doing, and we are doing the same, actually. We are basically running a virtual company right from the beginning. So it's much more productive. You know, I have no commute, and I also don't travel that much for work, but we are completely connected, and we are able to do everything that we need to do, you know, virtually. Basically, the collaboration tools today are so strong and so interesting that we have no trouble getting everything that we need to do, getting them done, you know, without a lot of loss in productivity through stuff like commute and so forth. So for a lot of entrepreneurs who are struggling with, you know, cost of talent and the logistics of talent, this is a model that is very much worth looking into as you develop your talent strategy, your human resource strategy. That's why I invited Shane to expose you